My, what singing. It didn't just sound good, it was right on target in worship and praise of the Lord. Hallelujah. Unto Him be praise and glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we just joined heaven with that song. Praise that's going on in heaven. Hallelujah. Well, all kinds of good things are happening in this service. How many just feel so encouraged in your soul? Amen. Praise God. I mean, we've been encouraged by the blessings and moving of the Spirit, by the message of songs. Had a great message on tithes. I mean, we're just in good shape tonight. Praise the Lord. This Monday, tomorrow, we ought to have carpet down in the nursery. We won't have it all completed, but we'll be able to move into it. And we've expanded it, added a room to our nursery, and we're just going to fill it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of us are. Amen. Church growth. Church growth. Praise the Lord. Coming up is our Sunday school picnic. That's going to be a great time. And we just got a lot of things ahead of us before the end of the year gets here. I'm just excited for the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you what is so exciting about what's going on is it's centered around Jesus. Amen. It's no pet peeve of our church. It's just Jesus. That's whom we're exalting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you can leave your Bibles open. But for right now, we're just going to read one verse. And I know you've been standing a lot tonight, but it's just one verse. Could we stand for the reading of the verse and for prayer? Paul says, but the natural man, or we could read person here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Thank you. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I want to minister the help of the Lord tonight on receiving the things of the Spirit. Receiving the things of the Spirit. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Anoint what is said. And God, we thank you for the service we've had already. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that we feel in our midst. We thank you for the way we sense that He's ministering to hearts. Now may Jesus continue to be glorified in the remainder of this service. And God, if someone's here that came and they don't know you, Lord, in a personal way, I pray before we close out this service that they are introduced to you and they accept you as Lord and Savior of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. A few weeks back, I was speaking to my father, and he was sharing some things, as only you can do within a family, share your heart, different things. And he was talking about, he said, you know, we used to go to church, and when we got to church, the Spirit seemed to move more frequently in those days. But almost every time we went to church, we would cry. Some of us would cry. Some of us would shout. Some would talk in tongues. And the way he put it, he said, when the Spirit moved, you just feel that bubbling joy. Hallelujah. How many knows what he's talking about? Feel that bubbling joy. And he said, you know, no matter how we felt when we went to church, and whatever we were facing, and however bad things might appear, after feeling that moving of the Spirit, we knew that everything was okay, and we left refreshed. And then he made this statement, and again, you got to understand, this is a personal conversation. He said, you know, it doesn't happen that much anymore. He said, maybe it was all just emotion. He wasn't really doubting it. He was just talking. You know, maybe it was all just emotion. He said, what do you think? And I said, I think yes and no. Isn't that a good answer? I think yes and no. You know, for some, it's always been just emotion. I mean, they've never really committed their lives to Christ. They can just be moved by the music or whatever. And so for some, it has always been just emotion. But I knew my dad, and I knew what he was talking about, that bubbling joy. He's a shy man, and it's hard for him to talk. He'd take us boys down to the altar. We'd pray over here at the edge of the platform by the piano, and I would hear him pray until he began to pray through, and all of a sudden he'd lift up his hands, begin to speak in tongues, and tears running down his cheeks, and he was lost in the Spirit. And so I knew it wasn't emotion for him. But you see, it was the moving of the Spirit that brought the emotion. The emotion was a sincere response to the Spirit at work in the soul. Amen. It was the Spirit's work, however, that made the difference, not the emotion. The emotion was a response of the moving of the Spirit. But it was the Holy Spirit that made the difference, the different outlook, the different perspective, the different look at the things that a person was facing. Amen. The emotion was just a sign that it had taken place. But I begin to think of how he was sharing personally with me what a difference it made in his life to go to church and feel the Holy Spirit move upon him. And something in my heart said, and I know we've been experiencing it in good measure around here, but something in my heart said we desperately need that kind of thing to happen, and happen not just for a few, but to happen wholesale across the congregation. I begin to think of individuals that the best thing that could happen to them is for them to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon them until there was a change in mind, emotion, and heart, and will. I'm telling you, we need the things of the Spirit in our life. Oh, God, do it. We need those moves, those life-altering, those perception-clearing, those direction-changing moves of the Spirit. I want you to consider our text. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Oh, that tells me, first of all, that there are things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Everything is not of human origin. Everything that happens in a church didn't just come from the human mind and the human ingenuity and the human planning and preparation. Amen. You come to church and there are things of the Spirit here, things that are divine, things that are eternal. It's more than just the talent of people and the message of a person and the words of people. I want you to believe when you walk through the doors, there are the things of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, something beyond this world, beyond this pale. Can you say amen? There are things of the Spirit. The natural man, that he does not receive the things of the Spirit. When Paul says that, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, that implies that the Spirit is trying to and is willing to give things to us. If the natural man is not receiving them, that means the Holy Spirit is attempting to give them. He's just not receiving them. I want to tell you tonight, I know for a fact, even in this service, the Holy Spirit has been attempting to give things to whomever would receive it. In fact, if you're here tonight and you're lost, the Holy Spirit is attempting to give you eternal life if you would receive it. If you're here and your perception is all messed up and things are out of whack in your heart and your emotions, the Holy Spirit is here to give you help if you would but receive it. If you're discouraged, the Holy Spirit is here to give you encouragement. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad he would give things to us if we would receive them. If the natural man receives them not, that implies that the things of the Spirit are available if only they will be received. Hallelujah. How many wants to receive the things of the Spirit? Amen. But you see, to receive them, we must be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded means we are desirous of the things of the Spirit. You know, a lot of folks have become critical about the way we have church. They'll say, you're stuck in the past. But you know what I believe? I believe we're just trying to keep the focus on Jesus and provide a place where if people will be spiritually desirous, they can receive spiritually of the Lord. I was reading last night that one of the new in vogue things for churches is hipster churches. And one of the goals they have when they build that church is to build a church so that the generation they're trying to reach can't tell if they've walked into a church or into a bar. In fact, they have a literal refreshment bar in there, and they have fog, and they have special lighting and special effects and music with a certain beat, and their goal is when you walk in, you won't be able to tell whether it's just another bar or a church. Oh, hallelujah. I believe you're going to receive spiritual things. You need to have a spiritual desire and a spiritual hunger and a spiritual mindset. And so we know, amen, if the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, it is a spiritually minded person that does. This tells us that the carnal, the worldly minded, the carnal minded cannot receive anything of the Spirit because the carnal and the worldly is incapable of receiving the Spirit. Amen. Jesus told us that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Did you hear that? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, because he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him, and love him, and manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus said that the world cannot receive this Holy Spirit, but give us a person that loves God, that keeps his commandments, and you have a spiritually minded person who can receive the Holy Spirit. Well, glory to God. If I have the world, hear me, even as a Christian, if I have the world in my thoughts, I cannot receive spiritual thoughts. If I have the world in my emotions, I cannot receive spiritual emotions. If I have the world in my will, I cannot receive a spiritual willingness. Even the world cannot receive. But here's the thing. Paul didn't just say the carnal man cannot receive. He said the natural man. That's not necessarily the common man. The natural man is just the animal part of us, if you please. The physical part. Amen. The biological part. The natural person cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why is that? It's because the natural man is not interested in receiving the things of the Spirit. The natural man is interested in eating ice cream and going to McDonald's and going to bed. Amen. Those are the things the natural man is interested in. Amen. The natural man cannot receive because he's not even willing to receive the things of the Spirit. A spiritual desire said, I'm going to stand and worship the Lord. The natural man says, you're too tired for that. You got arthritis in the knee. Think on those things. Even the natural man receiveth not. He's simply not capable and not willing. We must have our spiritual person come alive. The inner person of our life. We must have him come alive. Prayer will make our spiritual person come alive. Worship causes our spiritual person to come alive. Listening to the word, reading the word, causes our spiritual person to come alive. And when the spiritual person comes alive, he and she will receive the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not the carnal man, not the natural man. Why? Paul tells us, he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. We'd say silly today. That's silly to get so happy you run around the church. That's silly to be way up in years and still shout and dance. If you're saying it's silly, you've just given an indication that you are natural, that you are carnal. See, every time the natural carnal man thinks spiritual things are silly. That's silly to pray like that. That's silly to tarry in the altar. That's silly to weep and cry in a church service. It's unnecessary. It's unimportant. It's just plain silly. Not to the spiritual man, it's not. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's what old David's wife did. She looked down and saw him dancing before the ark of the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Said, that's silly. You know why it was silly to her? Because she was carnal and fleshly and natural. Oh, but it wasn't silly to David. The presence of the Lord is coming home. Hallelujah. Let folks laugh and make fun and be ashamed of his actions. It's not silly to him because he's receiving spiritual things. Hallelujah. Well, what are the things of the Spirit? Brother Mike, if we could go to verse 9. And I'm going to do this just really quickly and we'll be done. Amen. But as it is written, this is a context. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things, spiritual things, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, this is a very wonderful verse. But so often we take it out of context, maybe because of that word prepared, what God has prepared for them, and we immediately think of heaven, and we talk about heaven and say, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, and that's true. That's all true of heaven. God's preparing us a wonderful place there. But if you read this in context, Paul's not talking about heaven. He's talking about right here, right now on this earth. Even what we can experience in this service, I have not seen nor ear heard, and you've never even thought of how good it could be. You don't have to wait to heaven to have this. These are things of the Spirit that you can receive right here and right now. Amen. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. For the Spirit searcheth, yea, the deep things of God. The spiritual things that we can receive are the deep things of God. You know, some people think deep preaching is preaching that gets so complex and so technical and uses such big words that nobody can understand what's being said. Oh, that was deep preaching. They used to say of German theologians, they could go down deeper, stay down longer, and come up drier than anybody else. Oh, it was deep. I mean, it was involved and it was technical. Amen. It was esoteric and just a few could grasp it. Amen. Well, listen, amen, I don't believe that's what it means. I believe it's deep because God's goodness, God's mercy, mercy, God's holiness is immeasurable. You never get to the bottom of it. I mean, God is so, He's so God. Hallelujah. I mean, it's deep because it's the nature of God. It's deep because it's about who He is and what He does. But it's not just deep because it's of God. It's deep because what it'll do to you, it'll go way down deep in your heart. It'll get to the root of the problem. Oh, it'll go deep, 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 deep. We've had enough surface, amen, Christianity, superfluous relationship. I'm telling you, there's something deep. There's the deep things of God, and we can receive them by the Spirit when we're spiritually desirous. Well, glory to God. I want spiritual things. How many wants to receive spiritual things? Hallelujah. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That means the things of God you can't come up with on your own. You can't think of them on your own. The Spirit of God has to illuminate and reveal them to you. Now we're talking about He's willing to give us these things if we'll receive them. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I'm telling you, God is ready to liberally, freely, abundantly give us spiritual things. Well, glory, I'm about to shout. Hallelujah. What are these things? These are things which the Holy Ghost teacheth us. Verse 13. These are things which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Hallelujah. You'll never get truth out of carnal things. If you need spiritual guidance, spiritual help, don't turn to a carnal source. You get spiritual things from a spiritual source. And Paul said the Holy Ghost will teach us spiritual things. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said and spoken unto you. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants to teach us what Jesus has to say to us. Amen. What are the things of the Spirit to be received? I've showed you from context, but now before we end, I want to bring it down practically to right here tonight. The things of the Spirit that we can receive, number one, is truth made real. Truth made real. There's a lot of wonderful truths in this book. We preached some of them this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? But in the natural man, that's just another good quote and another good saying until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of that truth and makes it real to our hearts. I remember in seminary, I had some long days. Got up about 5:30, left Neosho about 6. Had my first class at 7:30. My last class got over at 9:30 at night. And then I had the drive back after 10 or 10:30, whatever it was. But I had a little break in the day, and I'd usually spend it in the library working on my papers and things. But I remember one day my heart felt so empty, and I didn't even know if they did it there at that school. But I went up and I found the chapel, and no one was in there. And I knelt down between the pews, and I won't be able to explain it to you, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gave me a glimpse of God is holy. God is holy. I knelt there saying, you are holy. I knew that. I'd read that. But the Holy Spirit took a truth and made it real to my heart. Oh, let Him make it real to you tonight, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll give you personal words of help. The Holy Spirit can speak a word of encouragement to your heart tonight. The Holy Spirit can speak a word of correction or even conviction. It's a wonderful thing when the Holy Ghost gives you a word. Hallelujah. I'm not wanting to talk about myself. I'm just short on illustrations tonight. But I remember another time, very desperate time of my life, preaching a revival, first service in the prayer room, lying there, seeking the Lord, trying to overcome some things. And no, God didn't talk in an audible voice, but the Spirit spoke to me in the voice of God and called me by my first name. It wasn't pastor or brother, it was Clifford. He said, "Clifford, I love you." How many knows the Holy Spirit can do that? I preach this morning on the love of God, but the Holy Spirit can make it a personalized word to you. We need to receive the things of the Spirit, and then the things of the Spirit are blessings. Oh, He can give you joy. You don't have any reason to be joyful, but the Holy Spirit moves, and you leave the house of God bubbling over. My cup runneth over. Joy and peace and strength. I want to ask you tonight, are you receiving the things of the Spirit? When is the last time you have received the things of the Spirit? I thought of this and this week, and I'm just about done. But one way to determine whether or not you're receiving the things of the Spirit, I want to ask you tonight, have you spoken with tongues in a long time like you used to? I know it's not in tongues. You've heard me preach enough to know that. But there's something about praying until the Holy Spirit begins to give utterance. Amen. Are you receiving the things of the Spirit? Have you bubbled over with joy recently? You might have lost your job. You might have a sick kid. But oh, you got in the Holy Ghost and your heart bubbled over. Maybe you was driving to work. Thought you was going to have to pull over because you got to singing and the Holy Spirit got to moving. Oh, hallelujah. Have you been used in the gifts of the Spirit, if you'd ever been used? When's the last time you tarried at a personal or a church altar? Didn't realize everybody else was gone at church, or didn't realize what time it was at home because it was just you and the Lord and you were just basking in His presence. I'm talking about receiving the things of the Spirit, but we can comprehend, summarize everything you can receive of the Spirit in this. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real and heaven near. I said the Holy Spirit, receiving the things, it'll make Jesus real and heaven near. Amen. Would you come, music, tonight? Oh, I want to receive the things of the Spirit every service, every day. Just a little bit back, Sandra was having trouble with her cell phone. She was getting exasperated. I was too. I call her and never get answered. I thought she's ignoring me. She'd try to make a call. Call wouldn't go out. Basically, there was nothing wrong with the signal. The thing that was wrong was the receiver of the signal. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with the signal tonight, the Spirit moving, the Spirit speaking. If you're not receiving, there's something wrong with the receptor. And that can be made right tonight. You can come before God and say, "God, I haven't been receiving the things of the Spirit, but oh, I'd like to." Sometimes we have to get out of ourselves, the natural man, out of our natural routine, our natural thinking. And we just need to get along with God and say, "God, fix my receptor so I can receive the things of the Spirit." We've also been having trouble around the church and at home with the DSL, the internet connection. And I've dealt with them at both places this week. And first thing they want to do is they want to blame this end, you know. "Well, did you do this? Do you do that? Did you? What about this wire? We'll come out." And finally, I just told them, I said, "I can assure you the problem is not on this end." I'm not going to go into why, but I'm going to assure you. I said, "Something is wrong on your end. And I want you to know, if I'm not receiving the things of the Spirit, God pretty much can just assure me that the problem's not on His end. It's on my end. And He wants to fix it so I can receive what I need to receive from the Holy Spirit. How many knows we need the Holy Spirit? Church, this is the thing that separates Christianity from every other religion, amongst other things. But this is the thing. Christianity is the only religion that has the Holy Spirit to help us and enable us. And other religions are left on their own. We're not left on our own. We got the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When He comes, I want to be open. Could you stand? Let's lift our hearts. Say, oh God, I want to receive spiritual things right now. Right now. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. It's not even entered into our hearts what we can receive of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's praise Him. Oh, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight, Lord, I need spiritual help. Tonight, my soul is a spiritual wilderness. But I want to receive the rain of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.